You are listening to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Sevierville, where our mission is helping people move from their point of need to hope in Christ. For more information about our church, head on over to sevier.church. Today's sermon, A Canaanite Woman, is part six in the series, One on One with Jesus, shared by Senior Pastor Dan Spencer.
What a great time of worship we've had already. And at this time, I want to ask you to please find in your Bible Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. The strangest thing Jesus ever said is found in Matthew chapter 15. That's when he called a woman a dog. What a strange thing to come out of the mouth of our loving Lord Jesus. But he said it. And yet from the strangest thing Jesus ever said, we find some of the greatest mercy that he ever gave. We're looking today at another one of the one another meetings, or one-on-one meetings rather, that Jesus had with people. After today, we're going to look only at three more of these one-on-one conversations. Next week, we'll look at the conversation Jesus had with one of the greatest villains of the Bible, the man named Pontius Pilate. After that, on Palm Sunday, we'll be listening in on the one-on-one conversation Jesus had while he was hanging on the cross with the thief who was hanging next to him. And then on Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, we're going to look at the one-on-one meeting Jesus had with the very first person he appeared to after his resurrection, the woman called Mary Magdalene. And so today, our one-on-one is in Matthew 15, when Jesus was tracked down by a desperate mom, a Canaanite woman. So let's begin reading in verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." Praise the Lord for that great miracle that Jesus worked, delivering that little girl from a demon. Praise the Lord for that. But we can't just pass over the fact that Jesus called her mom a dog. This is really strange. So there must be something that we're supposed to learn here. For starters, I think we ought to go back to verse 21 and look at where this took place. It says that Jesus took his disciples and went up to the region called Tyre and Sidon. Now, just casually reading over that, it doesn't seem very important, but trust me, this is very important. The cities of Tyre and Sidon, as you can see on this map on the screen, were not a part of Israel. They're a part of what's known today as the country of Lebanon, there on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Israel in Jesus' day was made up of five regions. There was Galilee in the north, Judah in the south, Samaria in between, and then across the Jordan River, there was Perea, and then the region or parts of the region called the Decapolis. That was Israel as a whole in Jesus' day. And so when we read in verse 21 that Jesus went up to Tyre and Sidon, just understand this is the only time in his public ministry that Jesus ever left Israel. Jesus spent his entire public ministry in Israel except for this one time. Jesus went up to Tyre and Sidon, which was about a 50-mile walk from where he had been. A 50-mile walk, that would be like us gathering together in the parking lot right out here today and walking all the way to Middlesboro, Kentucky. 50 miles. But it wasn't just the distance that made this move unusual. It's also the fact that Tyre and Sidon were considered by the Jews to be unclean territory. So no respectable Jew would ever go up there on purpose. And yet Jesus took his disciples up there to Tyre and Sidon. Why in the world would he do that? And why just this one time? Well, maybe it's because he needed a break from the crowds. You know, everywhere Jesus went, there were crowds of people that just followed him, and everybody wanted his attention. Everybody wanted to talk to him. Everybody wanted to see Jesus. Everybody had a need. And so maybe in his humanity, Jesus is just worn out and he needs a break. Mark's gospel, telling this same story, seems to imply that, because it says this in Mark 7:24, "From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden." And so they get an Airbnb up in Tyre and Sidon to get away from the crowds. Maybe that's the reason why. Or maybe Jesus went up there because he needed a break from the attacks of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews at that time, were relentless. They tracked him down everywhere he went, everywhere Jesus spoke. They were there trying to embarrass him, trying to mock him, trying to discredit him. And their ultimate goal, of course, was that they would destroy him. In fact, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus, right before he went to Tyre and Sidon, had another run-in with the Pharisees. And so maybe he went up there because he knew that no Pharisee would ever dare go there because they would become unclean. And so he wanted to get away. Maybe Jesus went up there to escape the jurisdiction of Herod for a while. Herod was the ruler in Galilee where Jesus had been, and he was a cruel and bloodthirsty man. In fact, in the previous chapter, Matthew 14, Herod had murdered John the Baptist. And so maybe Jesus wanted to escape his territory for a while and let things cool down. And so he goes up to Tyre and Sidon. But I think that there is a greater lesson or a greater reason that Jesus went up there to Tyre and Sidon. All of those things may be true. I think there was a greater reason, and here it is. It's because up in Tyre and Sidon, there was one woman. One woman who needed Jesus. And so he went all the way up there just to help her. He walked 50 miles. He drug all of his disciples along with him. He left his country for the first and only time during his ministry. And he did it for one person. I don't know about you. I just love that about Jesus. That's how much He cares about one. He preached to big crowds. He was always around a lot of people. But Jesus was never too busy to take a detour for just one. And so, let's talk about who was this one that he went to Tyre and Sidon for. Well, there are three things we know about her. Number one, we know that she was a Canaanite woman. Verse 22 tells us that she was a woman of Canaan. And as a Canaanite woman, what that meant was that she was not a Jew. Instead, she was a Gentile. And as a Gentile, this woman was not a descendant of Abraham in that same line as all the Jewish people, meaning that she had no claim on the promises of God to his people. She had no claim to the covenant of God with his people. She had no claim on the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. To be honest, she didn't even have any business calling him the Son of David. That's a title for the Jews, the royal title of the Messiah. But she called him Son of David. She didn't even have a right to say that. This woman was outside of God's people. She was a Canaanite woman. And so the fact that Jesus went all the way up there just to see her, a Canaanite woman, was something different than the disciples of Jesus had ever been taught before. Because the Pharisees, with their traditions, and they ruled the thought of Israel and all the Jewish people at this time. The Pharisees in their tradition taught that God doesn't care about all those people. He only cares about the Jewish people. And that when the Messiah comes, he's going to save Israel, but he's going to judge and destroy all of the Gentiles. And they taught that only Jews are the children of God and everybody else is a dog. That's what they taught. And so at this point, let me tell you what I think Jesus was doing. Follow me here. At this point, I think Jesus was teaching his disciples that things are going to be different in his kingdom than anything they've ever known. And that in the covenant that he's coming into the world to establish by his blood, things are going to be different. And so as he teaches them this, Jesus, who's an ingenious rabbi who often taught with metaphors and parables and even humor, Jesus taught them at this point, this is what I think he's doing, he taught them by sort of role-playing, treating this woman in Tyre and Sidon the way that the Pharisees would treat her. That's what I think Jesus is doing here. So he ignores this woman at first. Why? Because the Pharisees taught that a Gentile woman like her was not even worth your response. And so he ignores her. And then when the disciples urge Jesus to just give her what she wants and send her away, Jesus says, I was sent here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, I was not sent to people like her. And why did he say that? Because that's what the Pharisees taught, that the Messiah did not come for people like her, only for the Jewish people. And then when the woman kept begging for help, Jesus said to her, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He called the woman a dog. Why did he do that? Because that's what the Pharisees said this woman was as a Canaanite woman. Now, some people try to gloss over that statement and say, well, Jesus used the Greek word for a pet dog, not the Greek word for a wild junkyard dog. But let me tell you, if you call me a dog, I don't care if you meant pit bull or golden doodle. I'm still going to be offended. Because that's an insult. It's harsh and it's rude to call somebody a dog. And so why did Jesus say that? Because that's what the tradition of the Pharisees taught. That when it came to this Canaanite woman, God doesn't care about you. I didn't come to serve you. You're not a Jew. You're just a dog. And so here are the disciples seeing Jesus act in that way that's so strange and saying this thing that's so out of character that I think they immediately knew what Jesus was doing and what he was teaching them. Jesus took his seminary class on a field trip and he taught them that, look, God loves everybody. And the Messiah came for everybody. And the grace of God extends to everybody. And no one is a dog who has been created in the image of God. And anybody by faith can become a son or daughter of God. And I think they got it. I think they understood and never forgot the lesson that Jesus taught them there. And so, what do we know about this woman? Well, we know that she was a Canaanite woman. And then number two, we know that she was the mom of a demon-possessed daughter. She said in verse 22, "Have mercy on me. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Now, we know from other situations in the Bible the kind of terror and damage that demons can bring into a person's life, even children. And that part of the story seems just especially cruel and evil, doesn't it? That Satan, by this demon, is attacking this little girl. In Mark chapter 9, a man brings his demon-possessed son to Jesus. And he says, when this evil spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. He foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And this demon tries to throw him into fire or to burn him or water to drown him. And it was beyond horrible. In Matthew chapter 5, there was a demon-possessed man who lived in a cemetery, ran around wild and naked, and the demons caused him to do self-harm. He became a cutter, the Bible says. Now, we know about those instances, but we don't know how this Canaanite woman's daughter was affected. But we do know the Bible says it was severe. Severely demon-possessed. It was a horrible thing for a mom to watch. And as a mother, she couldn't do anything about it. She couldn't help her daughter. And that's why she came to Jesus. And so we know that this is a Canaanite woman. She's the mom of a demon-possessed daughter. And third, we know that she was a woman of desperate faith. Desperate faith. You see this all through the Bible. There's something powerful that happens when desperation and faith come together. Jesus said in verse 28, "O woman, great is your faith." And he gave her the mercy and the miracle that she was asking for. Her faith was great because it was persistent. Look at this woman. She comes to Jesus. He calls her a dog in the form of a parable. Verse 26, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And the point is, I think Jesus is making, is who gets the food first, the pets or the kids? Well, Jesus was saying, look, you can't cut in line in front of my kids. I came for the house of Israel. While on earth, Jesus restricted his ministry to the Jews. Not the Jews only, but the Jews first. And even though he said that, this woman is just persistent. She could have said, well, okay then, if you don't have anything for me, then I'm out. And she could have just walked away. But instead, she pressed on. Her faith was persistent. And she even picks up on Jesus' parable and adds to it. In verse 27, she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And I think that's a great statement of faith. It seems like she's saying, look, even the kids at the table drop stuff on the floor and the pets eat it, why can't I have some of the crumbs that the Jews don't want? I just want enough to help my daughter. Jesus, I just want a few crumbs. And I believe that even the crumbs of your power are enough to deliver my daughter. What great faith. And I think she was saying, Jesus, I know who you are. You're the Son of David. You're the Messiah. And I've heard what you can do, all those miracles down there in Galilee. And I know you came to save your people. And maybe I'm not one of your people, but aren't I close enough to at least get the crumbs that fall off your table? That's enough for me. And I believe you can help my daughter. So she combined here great faith with great desperation. What made this woman so desperate? I'll tell you what made her so desperate is that Satan was messing with her family. She looked at her daughter, that precious girl that she had given birth to, that little girl that she had named and nursed and nurtured. She looked at her daughter and she thought about the thrill of watching her take her first steps and to hear her say her first words. She remembered all the times people said, she looks just like you. And she thought about how much she loved that child, and she thought of all her hopes and dreams for her little girl and all the potential of that little life ruined and wasted by this satanic evil that had taken over her life. Her little girl doesn't smile and laugh anymore. She doesn't play with the other kids anymore. Her little personality has been crushed by this evil. Jesus, this isn't just somebody else's child. This is my girl. She's my daughter. And she's desperate. Some of you know what that desperation feels like because you've seen Satan mess with the people you love. Your child, your grandchild, your friends at school, you see them being deceived and blinded by Satan. He's tempting them, he's lying to them, and they're just running as fast as they can in the wrong direction. You know what that desperation feels like. Satan's messing with your family, causing conflict, harassing your loved ones. And you know what it feels like to watch that happen. That's why this mother came to Jesus so boldly, even though she was an outsider, even though she was out of place. Desperation drove her to be undignified. Desperation drove her to beg the Lord. Desperation drove her to cross these cultural barriers. Desperation drove her to be honest, to just open up about her problem. Lord, there's something evil going on in my house. Demons have my daughter. That's what you do when you get desperate. You get honest like that. When you get desperate, you don't care who knows. You don't care who sees you. You'll pray without ceasing. You'll beg the Lord for help. You'll cross lines and raise your voice and be undignified if that's what it takes to get heard when you're desperate. I want to go back to verse 23. When this woman first approached Jesus and she shared her problem. Verse 23 says, he answered her not a word. Not a word. What do? When you have articulated your problem to the only one who can fix it, and he says nothing. I know what to do when I ask and he answers, but what do you do when you ask and all you get back is silence? What do you do when you call 911 and nobody picks up? What do you do when you call on Jesus and he doesn't answer? Lord, don't you hear me? Lord, don't you see my pain? Don't you know what it feels like to see your child suffer? I'd rather suffer myself than to watch them suffer. Lord, don't you hear me? Nothing. What do you do when you call on Jesus and he doesn't answer? I'll tell you what this woman did. She drew closer. Verse 25 says that she came and worshiped him. Whatever the distance was between her and Jesus, she closed that gap in a hurry. She came. She worshiped him. That word for worship means to get down on your knees. She ends up at his feet. She drew closer. Sometimes he doesn't respond right away to draw you closer. And so she draws closer, and in desperate faith, this time she just says, Lord, help me. And Jesus answered her prayer. And I have more to say, but I just feel like the Lord wants me to conclude right there and go to prayer. All right? So will you join me in prayer this morning? And I just, as we just go together in prayer, I just want to ask you to pray first with me. If you have a loved one, if you have a friend that Satan is messing with, and you want to call on the Lord to help, maybe you're frustrated because you've been doing that, pouring your heart out to God, and you're hearing nothing back. But it's time to draw closer, and pray a desperate prayer. So let's all stand together, and will you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, there are some in this room who have children that are far from you. Satan has lied to them. He has deceived them. He's blinded them. Lord, for some, it's a grandchild with so much promise. And now they're in Satan's clutches. Lord, for others, it's a friend at school. And it breaks our hearts to watch them as they make bad decision after bad decision, running after the wrong things. Lord, they've been so deceived and blinded. For others, it's a friend. Whoever it might be, Lord, we want to lift these people up to you as we draw a little closer today. and just lean in to your presence and press in there at your feet, God, and just pour out our hearts. Lord, for some, it's their own marriage where Satan has a foothold and bitterness has taken over. Oh God, we pray. And then, Lord, for someone here today or someone watching or listening later, they find themselves as the one that needs to come to you. Lord, they are lost and unsaved. I pray, Lord, that right now they would call on you for salvation. Jesus, save me. I thank you for your promise, Lord, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord in that kind of faith will be saved. And then, Lord, I want to pray for my one today. I'm thinking of his name, his wife's name, so far from you, blinded in unbelief. And Lord, I've been praying for 6 weeks. Nothing has happened. I'm praying, Lord, for a breakthrough. Many of you have picked up one of these bookmarks that says, "Who's your one?" And you've written down that person's name, someone who is close to you but far from God. And the Lord has laid this person on your heart to pray for, that they would be saved, that God would use you to get the gospel to them, that He would open up some kind of conversation and situation where you can give them hope and share your testimony and give them the gospel. If you've done that, if you know who that one is, then would you just right now in prayer just lift them up to the Lord? Why don't we do that right now? I'm going to call out the name of my one to the Lord. You say the name of your one to the Lord. Let's just pray for them. Heavenly Father, we pray for salvations, breakthroughs in every situation. And we thank you that in your word today, we've seen not only an example of great, desperate, persistent faith, but also an example of your compassion and your great power to save. We pray that would be repeated all over this church family during the coming weeks. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and share. And if you want a pastor to follow up with you regarding today's message, reach out to us at sevier.church/follow-up. Thanks again for joining us on the First Baptist Church Sevierville podcast.